We read the Word of God before we pray, namely from 2 Chronicles, chapter 15, a couple of verses. We stand up while we read the Word of the Lord. 2 Chronicles 15. And the Spirit of God came upon Azariah, the son of Oded. And he went out to meet Asa, and said unto him, Hear ye me, Asa, and all Judah, and Benjamin. The Lord is with you, while ye be with him. And if ye seek him, he will be found of you. But if ye forsake him, he will forsake you. Now for a long season Israel has been without the true God, and without a teaching priest, and without law. But when they, in their trouble, did turn unto the Lord God of Israel, and sought him, he was found of them. And in those times there was no peace to him that went out, nor to him that came in, but great vexations were upon all the inhabitants of the countries. And nation was destroyed of nation, and city of city, for God did vex them with all adversity. Be ye strong therefore, and let not your hands be weak, for your work shall be rewarded. Up to here, this wonderful and glorious Word of God. I would like to repeat again, maybe from verse 2b, The Lord is with you, while ye be with him. And if ye seek him, he will be found of you. But if ye forsake him, he will forsake you. Praise and thanks. May the Lord bless us now, as we bring glory to him. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your precious and holy word. We thank you, Lord, for all that you have given us up to this hour. We thank you for your light, Lord, that has shone in our hearts. Lord, also tonight, you will continue to speak to us through your precious and holy word. Lord, you can also speak through your good Holy Spirit. Lord, we are grateful for all that you have prepared for us. To you be the honor and the praise and the glory. In Jesus' name, amen. I would like to welcome you all warmly in the precious name of Jesus, and I wish you to feel comfortable in our midst. We will try everything we can to make your stay here as good as possible, but I believe that the most important thing is what we take with us and experience spiritually. It is not primarily a matter of how we are earthly accommodated or provided for. What matters is how we are spiritually provided for. What kind of food is served to us? I would like to read first from Luke 24, then from Acts 1, and then from Colossians. Just quickly read a couple of verses. Perhaps I may ask that we stand up to read the word. In Luke 24, we read from verse 27, And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. And they drew nigh unto the village whither they went, and he made as though he would have gone further. But they constrained him, saying, "Abide with us, for it is toward evening, and the day is far spent." And he went in to tarry with them. And it came to pass, as he sat at meat with them, he took bread, and blessed it, and brake, and gave to them. And their eyes were opened, and they knew him, and he vanished out of their sight. And then from Acts chapter 1, right from verse 1. The former treatise have I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and teach, until the day in which he was taken up, after that he through the Holy Ghost had given commandments unto the apostles whom he had chosen, to whom also he showed himself alive after his passion, by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days, and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. And from Colossians, from verse 27, Colossians 1, from verse 24, who now rejoice in my sufferings for you, and fill up that which is behind of the afflictions of Christ in my flesh, for his body's sake, which is the church, whereof I am made a minister according to the dispensation of God, which is given to me for you to fulfill the word of God. Even the mystery which has been hid from ages and from generations, but now is made manifest to his saints. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we look up to you, O God. We have not come to listen to people or their opinions. We have come to hear you and to experience you. We ask you, be present, O Lord. Speak through your word and through your Holy Spirit. Yes, as your servant prayed, you are the God of Daniel. You are able to close the mouth and also to open it. May you open it when your word is spoken, and close it if own thoughts would be brought. O God, we have but one longing in our hearts, and that is to do your will, as long as we are here on earth, whatever the cost, for we want to stand our ground before you. Bless us all from the riches of your grace, and we ask you, may your victory be manifested tonight for the glory and honor of your holy name. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. I am grateful to God with all my heart for this opportunity, that we in this place, unhurriedly and undisturbed, in all openness, in the presence of the Most High, can set forth the things of His Word, and need not take any consideration, neither for ourselves or anyone else. We live in a time in which the judgment begins in the house of God, in a time when all things must be ordered in the church, and all wild shoots must be cut off, that they do not grow forth. And Jesus himself said it of the vine dresser, that he shall prune all the branches that bring forth fruit, so that they bring forth more fruit. Whoever understands the word to prune, he knows what it means. One cuts off the wild shoots. One cuts away that which takes the life of the vine, so that the life can go where the true fruit is to be revealed. So, when the Lord cleanses in this time, when he prunes, when he rebukes, then we should be thankful, because then he means well with us. Then we are branches that should bear fruit and are allowed to bear fruit. When he no longer prunes, then we are in danger of being cut down. I would rather be pruned than cut off. I would rather, in the time of grace, that the sharp knife of his word, which is like a two-edged sword, do its work on me, than to be cut down in the end and thrown into the fire. Remember, we are talking about vines here. Very often we have heard the comparison of the weeds and the wheat, of the chaff and the wheat. But there it says, every branch on me, every branch on me that does not bear fruit is cut down and cast into the fire. But every branch that bears fruit, he will prune, that it may bear more fruit, and the Lord be honored and glorified. It is on my heart to say a few things that are of particular concern to us at this time, what belongs to the proclamation of the Word of God, and to the conclusion, yes, to the blessed conclusion necessary for the perfection and completion of the Church of Jesus Christ. And I have therefore chosen this word here, when the Lord Jesus spoke to his disciples. He did begin with Moses and all the prophets, and he did show and reveal to them the Holy Scriptures in their divine meaning and fulfillment. We believe that we are living in the time when all things will come to the completion. And if the scoffers scoff, this too is foretold in the Bible, that at the end of time there will be scoffers who will walk according to their own lusts, who acknowledge nothing but are conceited, proud, and boastful, and they go their own ways. But this reminds me of the conversation of the one brother with a man who did not believe in God. This unbeliever told him to his face that God is dead. And the believer says, that can't be. I was talking to him just a moment ago. The unbeliever says, God is dead. And the believer says, that can't be. I was just talking to him. We can speak to God. We can talk to him. We can have fellowship with God. Those who are dead, it's the sinners who are dead in sin and transgression. But God is alive, and whoever has come to new life with him, he lives and has fellowship with the living God. That is how things are. But people see them differently because their points of view and their experiences are different. Here in this word, and it has been on my mind, especially since Thursday, that I have been walking around with a bowed heart and head all the days to show the people of God because of the responsibility given to me to show them the clear way of God in this time. And I may say this with all my heart before God. I have no point of view of my own to represent. I do not belong to any denomination, so I have nothing to defend, but only the true faith in Jesus Christ, the whole revelation of His Word and His will, as it has been handed down to us in the Holy Scriptures. Everything else is not my business. We have found out, retrospectively, that at all times, when God did something special on earth, there were people who understood it spiritually and had part in the work of God. And there were people who understood it intellectually and wanted to make a big deal out of it. But the great thing that God ever and ever did was among those who understood in their time the divine visitation, not those who afterwards, after the divine visitation was over, wanted to make something out of something. Perhaps I should be clear about that. In the days of Moses, God did something extraordinary. He sent His word and brought out His people, revealed Himself to them in a very powerful way, and all who believed with all their hearts had part in what God did. Later, when the one generation was over and the Lord raised up a new one, He again had someone to lead God's people on. And they went into the promised land. The scribes and the Pharisees in the days of Jesus, or up to that time, they had referred to Moses as their special prophet, and outwardly also rightly. They had been able to say, "Moses said, Moses said," and again and again they had Moses in their mouth. "Moses said this, what do you say?" "Moses said," and "Moses said." But they didn't really believe what Moses said. Because would they have believed what Moses said, then they would have recognized Jesus Christ, followed Him, and would have been part of the work of God in that time. We live in a time when God has sent a prophet, and we can say that with all our heart. After almost 2,000 years, and since the early church, and anyone who has read church history knows it, there have been enough who have claimed to be prophets or prophetesses. But a word prophet, a man of God, with a "Thus saith the Lord," a prophet of significance in the plan of salvation, a man sent from God, through whom the Lord Himself spoke, there has not been one in all of time until our day. Because these are the closing days of the whole dispensation of grace, which is now reaching its climax. Now we have to pay attention. There will be two groups which have always existed, also in this generation. There will be one group that is spiritually minded. It will not say, like in those days, "Moses did that, Moses did that." But like the Lord Jesus, He took what Moses said, He took what the other prophets said, and what the Psalms said. He embedded everything in the overall revelation of Almighty God and gave the people of God an overall view so that they could know, here is fulfilled what Moses, what Isaiah, what is written in the Psalms, what is written in the entire Old Testament. And this is the secret. The Jews made their prophet out of Moses and said, "This is our prophet." They were right, but they did not hear what God wanted to tell them through the prophet. They have only used him as the man who was so welcome to them in their overall concept, which they had set up for themselves. But the Lord Jesus placed every prophecy, every biblical statement, whether it was in the Torah, whether it was in Isaiah, in the Psalms, wherever it was written, he placed it in the overall event of the divine fulfillment of his word at that time. And if we look back in church history, there was a time of the Reformation. God had a mighty man, and nobody denies that, one of the greatest that has passed through our land. But what was it? It was just a remnant that understood at that time what God had given them. The others later made a big deal out of it and said, "This Martin Luther, that is our man." He is their man to this day. But the question is, where is God? Where is the plan of salvation? Where are the promises of the scriptures fulfilled? And after the Lord was finished with this great man of God, they formed an organization and made this and that direction out of it. And God sent another one again, up to this day. He is the man for a certain denomination, and this happened over and over again in the course of the centuries throughout the whole church history. Brothers and sisters, this must not be repeated in this generation. It must not happen again in this generation. The only one who has the center in his church, that is Jesus Christ, our Lord. And we are bound and kept before God, that we take all the prophecy in the scripture into the context and embed it so that everything harmoniously interlocks and fits together, so that God can come to his right with all of us. So it must not happen that we take things out of context and say, "Our prophet said this." Yes, it's true what he said. The question is, can we rightly place it? That is the other question. At that time, the scribes knew exactly what Moses said. But the question was, could they place it? Did they have the divinely opened eyes? Were they anointed and set by God? I have probably said it already last Wednesday evening. What a difference. There are the scribes and Pharisees. They could bring up quote after quote from Moses. Suddenly, there is a fisherman and a publican and the disciples of the Lord, whatever their composition was, men after the heart of God. And already they have a word here and a word there. Peter stands up at Pentecost and says, "These brothers are not drunk as you suppose, but here is fulfilled what was spoken by the prophet Joel. It shall come to pass in the last days, I will pour out of my Spirit upon all flesh." Right away, the man of God had the right word to give the answer so that all who came would be informed of what God promised and what he later fulfilled. It began immediately after Judas had done the betrayal. Peter speaks in the circle of the disciples, still before Pentecost, and says, "It is written, his habitation shall become desolate, and his office should be taken over by another." And off it went. That's leadership of the Holy Spirit. A prophet. The Lutherans have theirs, the Methodists have theirs, the Mormons have theirs. They all have one. They all have them. But the Holy Scripture tells us here, Der Lord Jesus was talking to his disciples. He started of repentance and all the prophets. And at the end of chapter 24, he says, hereupon he opened unto them the understanding of the scriptures. And he said, did not Christ have to suffer? And so forth. And it says here in verse 44, that all things must be fulfilled which were written in the law of Moses and in the prophets and in the Psalms concerning me. In the entire law of Moses, in all the prophets, and in the Psalms, that came true. And if you read especially Romans and Hebrews, you will see how in the New Testament proclamation of the word of prophecy was not interpreted unilaterally, but was embedded by the grace of God, that a divine harmony was in the overall proclamation. And this is what the Spirit of God works to this day. Where this is not the case, there will be fanaticism. One will insist on things and often not even do them oneself. The Lord Jesus said, the scribes and Pharisees have sat on Moses' seat. Moses was their prophet. Today, many have sat down on the seat of the prophet that God sent for this time without having the commission to classify everything biblically and give the Lord the opportunity to reveal himself to us. At that time, the Lord Jesus first told everything from Moses to the Psalms and the prophets to his disciples. Then they asked him to abide with them. He entered, he sat down at the table and broke bread, and then he disappeared. Not a one-sided proclamation, but a all-sided proclamation will cause Jesus Christ to come to us at this time and celebrate the supper with us. When I recently read this word in the book of Acts, that the Lord Jesus testified himself to his own as living, a deep longing arose in me, O Lord, bear witness to us as the living one, as the risen one, as the one to whom all power is given in heaven and on earth. We do not want hair splitting. We want to see Jesus Christ as the living one, as the risen one, in our midst and in our lives. It won't do us any good otherwise. The disciples could have spoken to him day and night. It would have been of no use to them. One encounter with Jesus Christ, the risen one, did everything. Was enough. It became completely clear to them what it was all about at that time. Dear brothers and sisters, it is deeply on my heart that these meetings become an encounter with God. That Jesus Christ could testify to us as the Almighty, as the Living One, as the Risen One, that each one of us could have such an encounter with him in these meetings. It is not a matter of many words. It's not about knowing what has been said here or there. The Holy Scripture even says, if you wanted to write down everything that the Lord Jesus did and so forth, then the world would not be able to contain the books. It's not about the quantity, it's about the correctness. It is about what we have received being rightly divided by the grace of God, that the Lord Jesus could come to us, that he could testify to us as being alive and reveal himself to us in the way he did then. You may say, he did that only with the two disciples on the way to Emmaus. No, it says, when the 11 were gathered, he stood in the midst of them. And in 1 Corinthians 15, it says in verse 5 or 6, and then he revealed himself to more than 500 brothers at once. Jesus Christ can testify and reveal himself to all of us here tonight as the living one. That is so. After all, he is the same. What he did in the beginning, he will do at the end. We can't help but walk the straight and clear path with God. And I hope not that there is anyone here who has misunderstandings in his heart to misunderstand what is being said, that we recognize all the servants of God and also the highly esteemed ministry of Brother Branham, whom God confirmed in a unique way, we can almost use the word, in an unprecedented way. But when it then comes or leads to that people make an idol out of a prophet, then it goes too far. Jesus Christ is and remains our center. I hope that tonight only friends are here. When I came home from the service here on Wednesday evening, I got a call from Canada, from Brother Gunther, and he said, Brother Frank, you know the Moosley brothers, that's two brothers. They believed that Brother Branham is going to come back, and they had a plane, and they were waiting that when he comes, that they will be able to go with him immediately by plane everywhere. And I don't know, my brothers were not present at this meeting in Tucson in December. But I listened to some things and I burned my tongue because I have to speak out against everything that is not biblical. I can't help it. The Spirit of God in me resists all things that are not biblical. I cannot help that. That is not my merit. It is the Spirit of God. But I have had to tell the brothers clearly that they believe things that they cannot read from the Holy Scriptures. And then they told me, but God has added to us much of the Word of God in this time. I said, not to me. To me has He only revealed it, namely that what was already written, and they still insisted. And now the brothers took off with a plane with six brothers and came straight down again, all six of them dead on the spot. On the spot. And I just hope that there has been a great awakening among all those who have made an idol of Brother Branham. And I say again, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. I am not ashamed of a Paul. I am not ashamed of a Moses. Nor am I ashamed of a Brother Branham. On the contrary, he is a prophet sent by God. But I say again, to make an idol of something, that is not what we are here for. We are here to give all the glory to Jesus Christ, to give him the primacy, he the center. God has used prophets to speak to us so that we can be brought back to the Word and place all things biblically. And I confess it freely and openly. I could not place things biblically today if God hadn't sent His prophet. If He hadn't come, I would know as much or as little as the rest of us, and we would have gone astray. God sent Him. But that we must keep the balance, that is certain. Otherwise, the storms are coming anyway. If we are already getting overbalanced by ourselves here or there, what will it be when the storms come? And brothers and sisters, believe me, the enemy is so cunning. He takes the Word of God and then he will deviate a little, always a little, and then add to it. And before you know it, you have deviated from the Word of God without realizing it. We believe that the end time message is the Word revealed by God, and that we have been brought back to the Scriptures, to the doctrine of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ, the cornerstone. We are so grateful for everything. And just as the Lord Jesus then, at his first coming, after he had risen from the dead, he testified to his own that he was alive, so he wants to testify to us that he is alive in these last days. He is not dead. I said it here earlier. The unbeliever said, God is dead. The believer could say, no, that can't be true. I just spoke with him. This dialogue, this fellowship, this longing for God, do we have it in our heart? Or are we satisfied with a knowledge? A knowledge puffs up. But the love of God that builds up, it does not destroy, it does not tear apart, it builds up, in which all are built upon this one foundation, which is Jesus Christ, unto a divine habitation in the Spirit. God wants to make such people out of us who walk in his ways, who are led by his Spirit, who walk within the boundaries of his word, who do not step out of line and run after things here and there, but simply walk the straight path. Paul then later said that he would like to fulfill the word of God according to the commission in the church. This word, to fulfill the word of God, this is very important. Not just somehow, but according to the will of God, under the leading of the Holy Spirit. Back then it was he who enlightened the churches about the mysteries that had been hidden since the foundation of the world. Why? Because it had been granted to him to look into the mysteries of God. And in the same way, it was given to Brother Branham in this time by God to look into the deepest mysteries of the prophetic word and bring them to God's people. But that doesn't entitle any of us to go out and say, well, I come now in the same name that Paul preached. The one said, I know Jesus and Paul too, but who are you? It is of no use to anyone unless a clear divine calling has been given to do what God has commissioned or commanded to be carried out. It is not time, nor is it necessary, for anyone to come to the front and speak of a divine calling. But this I want to say, no one will ever be able to understand what it means to have a responsibility before God for the church at this time. And then when you see things that have deviated, that you can, excuse me to say that, but that you can feel it with a cane. And then when you say something, there are people who misunderstand it because they immediately get the impression that Brother Branham has not been given the credit he deserves. The Holy Scripture says that we should give glory to him to whom it is due. And it is written, all glory is to our God. Just read Revelation, as the four living creatures and the 24 elders and all the heavenly host, they join in the hymn of praise. Who is glorified there? No prophet. To him who sits on the throne, to him is all honor, all praise, all glory. Everything else is enthusiasm, but not the Holy Spirit. In the days of Moses or in the days of Saul, there were always people who were excited, and there were also some who were under prophetic enthusiasm. Did you read it? In the days of Samuel and Saul and so forth, there were prophets, that is, men under prophetic enthusiasm, but it didn't do them any good. The anointing, that made the difference. There are people today who are under a prophetic enthusiasm. They are carried away, But it is an enthusiasm. What we need is the revelation of Jesus Christ, who has been revealed as the sum of the whole in this time, as the Alpha and Omega. Brothers and sisters, if we are speaking so earnestly here, face to face, then it is not for nothing. The coming of the Lord is near. Where is the bright church of Jesus Christ? A prophetic enthusiasm is as little sufficient as any other enthusiasm. We need prophetic revelation of the Word of God, that we place all things biblically in this time and first be silent and listen to what God has to say to us. When we give the Lord full freedom, leave everything to Him, and don't want to do anything, but simply say, Lord, here I am, take me as I am, and give me the anointing of your Holy Spirit. Not a prophetic enthusiasm, a prophetic revelation of the Word of God in this time. Revelation of Jesus Christ, anointing with the power of the Holy Spirit, and the Spirit of God leads into all truth, and the Word of God is the truth, and then we are on the right path. Of course, the scribes at that time, they could say, Moses commanded, Moses has. And they didn't even know that the things that Moses had commanded, that they understood it with their reasoning and not according to the divine meaning, and did not see them in their fulfillment. After the Lord Jesus had really long since been the fulfillment of the scriptures, they still acted as if they were doing what Moses had told them. And when the Lord became angry, he went into the temple and beat them all up and overturned their tables, saying, You have made my house a den of robbers. Get out. You have no right in here. And then later on, the temple was destroyed, and the people of Israel were scattered, and they walked with Moses over the whole earth throughout these centuries. And what good did it do them? Brothers and sisters, I say once again, unequivocal, I am grateful to God from the bottom of my heart for the prophetic revelation of His Word, for the ministry of Brother Branham, which is incomparable to anything that has been. But his task was to lead us to Jesus Christ, the bridegroom of our souls, to prepare us for the glorious day of the return of Jesus Christ, not to bring us in an enthusiasm. Enthusiasm we see on the sports field or at a boxing match here and there. There is enthusiasm, and also in the ranks of believers. How often have people fallen prey to enthusiasm instead of having an experience with a risen Lord who wants to testify to be alive? Wherever the Lord Jesus was revealed, after his resurrection, there was great joy. From then on, unbelievers saw him no more, but to the believers he revealed himself and testified to be alive. We cannot say to the Lord, Lord, if you do this or that today, then we will believe that you have testified to us that you are alive. What God wants to do is His business. We would like to come before the face of God today with a deep desire and say, Lord, however you wish, but testify that you are the living one, the risen one. What you do will be well done. Whether the sick are healed, whether sinners are saved, whatever happens, whether we are baptized with spirit and fire, no matter what may happen, we want Jesus to testify to us that He is alive, that we have an experience with Him, so that everyone can say, It was good to be here. We have experienced the Lord in His grace and in His power. Jesus Christ is the same. At that time, He gave His disciples full information about the entire fulfillment of the prophetic word. Then he entered their house and blessed their bread, and then went on. And already he was in another place and continued blessing and breaking bread. And then he revealed himself even to more than 500 brothers at once. Tonight, if we can be one heart and one soul and are gathered in perfect faith without doubt before the face of God, something mighty can happen tonight. We have put our hope in the living God, and whoever puts his trust in him will not be put to shame. I want us to be serious tonight, to stop putting things off and saying, well, it will be all right, but to say, Lord, today I come before your face. Today I want to have an encounter with you. Today may you reveal your power and glory, because you are risen, you live, you hear, you speak, and you bless. If we speak thus with the Lord tonight, we will soon feel his rushing robe, as a songwriter sings, in our midst. We will notice a loveliness of the Spirit of God descending upon us all. Not a dogmatic proclamation, the prophet has said, but a loveliness embedded in the overall action of God in this time. Knowing the Lord watches over his people, he watches over his word to fulfill it. Whether Peter was able to recite as much as the scribes, I do not know, but I knew one thing. Every time there was a need, he had the right prophetic word in his mouth. The Holy Spirit put it in. He was a fisherman. The others were theologians. But he, this man of God, so plain and simple, had God's word in his mouth wherever it was needed, not for himself. Today, there are many. They take what the prophet said and what fits into their concept. That is what they take, and that's what they emphasize. That is not preaching. For whom are we preaching in front here? To justify ourselves? No, we are preaching, as Paul says, to make known to all the children of God the mystery hidden from the foundation of the world, but which has now been made known to his saints. That is what it is all about, not justification. God is the one who justifies. And Paul says to the Corinthians, it is not he who commends himself who is commended, but he whom the Lord commends. No one needs to recommend himself. The Lord makes the recommendation. That is what this time is about. Not own defense, not own justification, but to give an insight into the whole plan of salvation. Yes, as Paul writes in the book of Acts, in chapter 20, that he proclaimed the whole counsel of God. That is what it is all about in this time. Paul said he wanted to fulfill the word completely, not just partially, fulfill it completely. And we believe that in this time the word of God was perfectly restored. But this perfect word must be embedded in all the promises, in the prophetic word, in the apostolic word, in the New Testament, in the Old Testament. It must all be properly balanced and embedded. Only in this way can we come to a real experience with God already tonight. I'm just talking about tonight. I don't know whether we'll be here tomorrow. We intend to, God willing, and we live. But today we are here, and today the Lord wants to reveal himself to us. Tell me, did you come with this desire in your heart to experience God today? Say it honestly, yes or no. If the yes is a yes that counts before God, then we will experience God here today. There is no other way. We can deceive one another, but God cannot deceive. He testifies as the living one, as the Lord, who is and who was and who is to come. We also know all the other apostles in the New Testament. They always take James when the question came, what's going to happen to the Gentiles? Then he stands up and says, Simon Peter has already said, as it is written in the prophet, that God will turn to the Gentiles and take out a people for his name. The apostles did not have the prophetic word for their own defense, but to show the church that now a part of the divine plan of salvation is being fulfilled. And that's why God was with them, and they were one heart and one soul, united and knit together by the divine love, which is the bond of perfection. If the word of God is to be fulfilled completely, then the perfect love of God must fill our hearts, in which the perfect word can be embedded, so that a perfect fruit can arise and grow in these last days. We know that God brought the work of creation to a close on the last day. Everything was already good, but when things were completed, God was happy, and he rested on the seventh day from all his work, and he saw that everything he had done was very good. In this church age, everything comes to an end, and what God does is well done. It's a glorious work, a wonderful work. Among all peoples, tongues, and nations, the Lord has his people. He calls them out. He blesses them. He testifies to them as the living one. Brothers and sisters, read this word prayerfully, where it is written, and he testified to them that he was alive 40 days and 40 nights. You know what that means. God neither sleeps nor slumbers. He is the keeper of Israel. He, the keeper of his church. Whether day or night, God has always consultation hours. We can always count on his help and blessings. But we must make ourselves of no reputation and forget ourselves. All our ability, all our will, we must put aside and say, Lord, here I am. Here we are as your people. And we can say that with all humility. God was merciful to us as the most unlearned at this time, as people who least know that we have received enough divine words of revelation, so that what God is doing now, that we can place it biblically and bring to the people of the Lord the whole word, the whole revelation, and that it is sealed in the hearts of his disciples. As the prophet Isaiah said, seal up the instruction in the heart of your disciples, not in all the people, but in the heart of his disciples. Who is a disciple of Jesus? It's a pupil. The word disciple and pupil is the same. A disciple is a pupil in the school of God. Today, many want to be masters. And as Paul writes, you have many schoolmasters. Master is nice, but the Bible says, one is your master, and that is Jesus Christ. And one is our Lord, and that's him. So there's no master, but there are schoolmasters. But them we don't need. We need fathers in Christ, men of God, who bring the word of the Lord from the bottom of their heart and tell the people of God what the Spirit has revealed. And you will see that the Lord will succeed to call out a bride by the proclamation as he has given it, and she will be without spot and without wrinkle, to cleanse and sanctify her, and to present her unblameable before his face. With us, this may seem impossible. With God, all things are possible. He called things into existence out of nothing. It is the same in our lives. If we had already brought something with us, well, then we could even be a bit puffed up. Nothing I have to bring. Everything, Lord, is you, as the German song goes. But out of this nothing, you can call something into existence through your mighty word, which is eternal. We must have become a nothing. And then the Lord can make everything out of us. We must know nothing anymore, so that he can be our knowledge and everything what we have and are, that it is he, and so that his name can be glorified again. And his precious and holy blood cleanses us from all transgression and sin, that we can stand in his presence with joy and say, Lord, testify to us that you are the living one. Walk in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks and speak to us by your precious and holy word. At that time, the Lord revealed the scriptures to his disciples. He made known to them the prophetic word and opened unto them the understanding for the scriptures. And he blessed them. The same he is doing now. He cannot change. And if anyone thinks that Brother Branham has said anything different from what the Bible says, he is mistaken. This I can tell him freely and openly. He is mistaken. When God speaks, he does not speak two different things. Then he speaks one thing. From the beginning it was so. Otherwise, who could then rely on it? And Brother Branham said many times, it is his task to bring the Church of the Lord back, which was scattered and held in statutes and all kinds of things, that she might be brought back to the unmistakable and everlasting Word of God. And that is where we have come back to. And he said, no one can add to the Holy Scripture. And so it is written, no one may add or take away a word. Even when he was told, listen, there are things revealed in the seven seals that are not written in the Bible. And he was silent for a moment and says, one moment, this is the trick of the devil. He says, God can only reveal what is in his word. That is the only foundation. It was hidden and it has been revealed, but is found in the word of God. And so our faith is not based on the wisdom of men, but on the power of God. And the power of God is in his word. His word is an all-powerful word. And all who have received his word will experience this omnipotence of God and will be blessed. And they will be people of peace, people of blessing and of love, no longer with bossiness, and I know more than you. We all know the same amount. If the Lord had not spoken to us, we would all know nothing. We must assume that. And if God is so gracious and talks to us and gives us grace, then it is only that we can be built up together until we are all perfected in Jesus Christ, our Lord, and that we then can come from believing unto seeing. There are hours of instruction, of rebuke, of bowing, of lifting up. There are many hours that God prepares for us before his face. Whatever he does is well done, and we want to stand our ground before him at any cost, whatever the cost. We want to keep the balance in life and in preaching. And if it is possible, we want to help others and become a blessing to them by grace, that we would not have lived for ourselves, but for the Lord. Should be brothers and sisters among us who do not yet know what God has done, who may have heard about the ministry of Brother Branham without knowing in what ways God has blessed and confirmed him. We have tapes and literature in some copies, and in them is a good overview of his ministry and what God has done during that time. We are very grateful to the Lord for that. We would not be here today had not God done all that and brought us back to his word. But the longer and the closer we get to the coming of the Lord, the more clearly we must take our stand on the word of God. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but God's word remains forever. And we want this word to be found in all of us when the Lord Jesus comes again to take his own. We also want to pray for the meetings tomorrow, that God will open the heavens and let the streams of his spiritual power descend upon us. Who would like to experience a Pentecost? I think all of us, right? We all want to experience a Pentecost, a roar from heaven. Oh, may the Lord satisfy our desire and show himself to us as the living one, and bless us from the riches of his grace. Amen. We stand up for the closing prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the rich blessing tonight. Lord, you have blessed us so many times. What shall we bring to you? What shall we say to you? Lord, help us in these days, for we look up to you. We know, Lord, your coming is very near. Faithful Lord, we know you have spoken so mightily in our days, even in our midst, Lord. We thank you for everything, Lord. Lord, also during this night, be with us. Bless our brothers and sisters. Bless even those who cannot be here, Lord. Bless in all countries, in east and west, south and north, everywhere your chosen ones. We thank you for everything. In Jesus' name, amen.